Parshios Tazria Mitzora. Finding the Sedra, of course, these Sedras are dealing with the Mitzora, the leper. And the Pasuk starts off that a person sees on his body one of the signs of leprosy. It says, V'huva el Aharon HaKohen. And then he's brought to Aharon HaKohen, who looks at the signs of the leprosy and sees what it is, and he proclaims them. Either it is leprosy, tells him it is, and he's tamei, or he has to be locked up to see what happens, if it's going to spread or not, etc. But we are told that whatever happens is all tolui in the kohen. The kohen is the one who has to decide the fate of this person. The word, though, here that is bothers some of the Mefarshim is the word vehuva. Literally means, and is brought. In other words, the person is brought to the Kohen. They ask, what do you mean the person is brought? Should have just said, and then the person goes to the Kohen. Brought is as if he's schlepped against his will. He's dragged. He doesn't want to go. And vehuva the Kohen, but anyways, we take him against his will and bring him to the Kohen. So why this against his will? So the Tam V'Das suggests a couple of answers. One answer is that, as we mentioned before, the leper, whether he's tummy or tar, is decided by the Kohen. Now, as long as he doesn't go to the Kohen, he's not proclaimed tummy yet. He might have leprosy, but he's not tummy until the Kohen proclaims such. So, therefore, he says a person might not want to go. He says, you know, why should I go? I mean, if I go, he might say I'm tame, and why should I be tame? I won't go. So therefore, buva, he is brought. If we see somebody with leprosy, we take him. It's important that he goes, because it's not just some that he should become tame, but there's a whole purification process that he received the tzaras, the leprosy, because he did certain averas like lashon hara, etc. And as a result, he needs to be purified from them. He has to change his ways, whatever. And then it's important to be brought to the Kohen so he can teach him and tell him what to do. So therefore, we bring him even if he doesn't want to go. That's one answer. Another different answer is that the word vehuva could also mean something else. It's mentioned by the Kalim in the Beis Hamikdash, the ones that have staves, like the Aaron, that the staves were inserted in rings, in these rings, in the side of the kli. And the Lashon over there is also vehuva. Vehuva es badav bataba'os. And they put the staves inside the rings. So vehuva, therefore, could also mean, the intent being, that just like the staves, huva means they were put, they fit exactly into the rings. It wasn't, obviously it's too big, it wouldn't fit in at all. But it wasn't small either, that there would be a lot of leeway. But they fit exactly, bidiyuk, into the rings that perfectly. So that's what the word vehuva means, a perfect fit, let's say. And as a result, the Mitzora is being taught that it is important that he listens exactly to the words that he's being told. When the Kohen, as we said before, tells him what to do to purify himself, he follows the words of the Kohen, word by word, exactly the process, then he'll be cured. But it's important that he does so. And therefore, it's a lesson that just like the Mitzara has to listen to the Kohen, so too, we have to listen to our Kohanim in our day and age. And they are the Gedolei Yisrael. Right? The Gedolim, they're the ones that tell us what to do, and when to do it, how to do it. And it's not enough to, okay, I'll do a be'erach, basically what he's telling me, use my own variation. No. It's important if we want things to go the way they should, and we should be successful, we have to follow exactly what is prescribed by our Kohanim, the Gedolei Yisrael. Exactly, word for word, without swaying in any direction whatsoever. So I share with you let's call it an ongoing story, that has a personal ramifications. Dates back to an article that was written in the English Hamodiya paper, and it was about a year or so ago. And the story goes like this. I'll share with you the story and then the what came after that. The story is about, it's a true story of a boy. A boy, they kept the names anonymous. They used the name Eliyahu in the story, but again, it was just to keep it was an anonymous name. This boy, let's call him also Eliyahu, was 9 years old, living in South Africa. And he contracted a very serious disease in his liver. And it's apparently a disease which usually only hits people that are over 70. And here he was like a 9-year-old boy. And because of that, it was life-threatening. The doctors pretty much gave up hope on the poor boy's life. And the doctors called in the parents, and at one point, and basically was to discuss the funeral arrangements. It was to such a degree, there was nothing they could do. He was on dialysis, and it was just a matter of time, a very short time, but he was going to leave this world. So the doctors were Jewish doctors, and for some reason they had a, let's call it a wild or crazy idea. They said to the boy, listen, the parents of the boy, said, you know, your son, unfortunately, doesn't have much time to live. And we thought, you know, maybe you should do something with him. His last days in this world, so you should have something lasting to the next world, take with him. So the parents said, what exactly do you mean? He said, well, we had an idea. He says, why don't you go to Israel? Why don't you go to Eretz Yisrael, spend a couple of weeks there, and take the boy around. We can arrange, you know, the dialysis and hospitals over there to keep up the dialysis. And, you know, let the kid have something, one last thing before he dies. So the parents thought it was a little bit crazy, but, you know, they said, why not? So this boy and his parents went to Eretz Yisrael, and as it happened, there was a good friend of his family was also going, so they had company on the trip. So they came, they visited various, you know, sites, they went touring here. Eventually, they got to Tzfas, up north. And they visited here, there. And one of these places of interest, of course, the Beis HaKvaras, the cemetery in Tzfas, where various great people are buried. And there's the Arib's mikveh over there. So the fathers decided to take a dip in the mikveh, but the boys, Eliyahu and his friend, from the other family, so they didn't want to go. The water was too cold for them. So they said that the parents were just going to walk around here, look at the sites, the various gravestones, whatever. Fine. So they're walking around. And then they came to this grave, and there was a cave. And it was the cave of Hoshea Hanavi. So they said, oh, very interesting. Let's see what's inside. Explore a little bit. So they go get into the cave. And they noticed, very strangely, there was a table set up. It was set up with a nice, fancy white tablecloth. And on the table was a bottle of wine, some cups. And they thought, well, that's strange. What's this doing over here in this cave over here? But the boy said, here, let me take a picture of the Elio in this cave. You know, it's really weird with this. Fine, so the boy walks back and takes a picture. Right after the picture, maybe it was because of the flash or whatever, they noticed it. They couldn't believe how they hadn't noticed it sooner, but at the end of the table, side of the table, there was an elderly man sitting there, with a white beard. And they were shocked. What's this man doing sitting here in this cave? The man called him over and said, oh, Shalom Aleichem, invited him over to have a drink. He says, here, make a lachaim with me. So he takes out, picks up the bottle of wine, opens it up, and I guess because of his age, his hands are a little bit shaky, and he's pouring the wine. The wine's spilling all over the white tablecloth. Anyways, he managed to fill up a couple of cups. And he offered Eliyahu a cup, and Eliyahu said, no, oh, I'm sorry, I can't drink. He says, why not? Just a little wine. He says, no, I'm actually very sick. I have this kidney disease, whatever, and I'm not allowed to drink alcohol. I can't drink wine. So this man says, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. He says, you know what? You know what you should do? He says, every day you should drink a cup of lemon juice. A cup of lemon juice. And that'll take care of you. I was, okay, fine. So, Eliyahu like shrugged off, ha-ha, you know, a cup of lemon juice, you know, whatever. But anyway, so the other boy took a little bit of wine, made l'chaim with this man, and he said, okay, shalom, and they left the cave. So the two boys were all excited. Wow, what an exciting experience, finding this old man and the wine and that. Wow, they're so excited. So just then, they saw their fathers coming down the hill and towards them. They called over their fathers. And they said, oh, you're not going to believe what happened. We went into this cave, and there's a man sitting there with wine, and he gave us a drink. So the parents thought they were hallucinating. And I said, ah, come on, was an old man sitting in a cave with wine? So he said, no, really, come. Look. So the father said, fine, we'll make you happy, we'll go in. So they came into the cave. They looked. No man. There was no man. There was no wine. No glasses. And not only that, the white tablecloth was there, but clean and white. No swine spills, much spilled marks down there. Nothing. Just a plain, clean, white tablecloth on the table, and that was it. The cave was empty. The man vanished. So the parents went, yeah, you see. They said, no, it's true. Okay, whatever. The kids claimed he was there. The parents doubted it. Where did he go? They hadn't left the cave, the area of the cave. The man didn't walk out. He didn't just vanish. Okay, that was that. So they went back. They went to their hotel room. So the Eliyahu's friend immediately rang to the local store. And he bought a nice big bottle of lemon juice. So he fills up a cup. He says, here, Eliyahu, drink. He goes, what are you talking about? I'm going to drink lemon juice. He goes, yeah, you know, come on. You know, there's something mysterious about this man, you know, disappearing. He said, drink lemon juice. I can't hurt. Drink some lemon juice. So Eliyahu said, okay, fine, I agree. I'll agree. And he did, and he took a cup of lemon juice. And his friend made sure that every single day he took his cup of lemon juice. Anyways, they finished their stay in Israel. They came back to South Africa. And of course, the doctor said, you know, called him in and said, we have to run, you know, tests and see how you know, what happened while you were away in Israel and etc. So he went through all the tests. Anyways, then the parents got a call and they said, would you please come down for a consultation? So he said, uh-oh, they didn't know what they're going to hear now. They've had enough of all the bad news. But, okay, they came into the doctor's. And the doctor looked at them and says, listen, we ran the tests, and what can we tell you? Your son has gone to complete remission. There is no sign of anything wrong with his kidney. And not only that, he said, you can't even tell that there was once something wrong with his kidney. It totally, completely healed, and as if nothing ever happened. What did you do? How did it? They said, well, so the doctor said, you know, we should send more people to Israel. It's unbelievable. You came back, and he says, I'm telling you, is no less than an open miracle. It's an open miracle. Can't be that you left in this condition, you come back, and there's no sign of the disease. It's an open miracle. That's all we can say. Anyways, that was the end of the story. The boy grew up. Today he's living in Eretz Yisrael, married, fine, no problem. He just makes sure to drink his cup of lemon juice every day. But besides that, he's a normal human being running a normal life. And the story was heard actually by the author who attended a Sudas Hodah. This person gave a meal of thanks to Hashem. And in the meal, he said over what had happened to him, the miracle that happened to him, and the author of this story had heard it. Anyway, that was the article that was in Hamodia. Just before I go on, as the connection, so I have to share the story with you, because we see that, again, how it's important to follow exactly the directions of the Rabbanim. And here the young man, with his friend's help, and listened exactly to what the Rav told him, drinking the lemon juice, and sure enough, that led to his saving his life and curing him. So as an addition, it's not connected to the Sedra in any way, but just for interest's sake, so this article appeared in Amodia, and interestingly enough, we mentioned in the story how the picture was taken in the cave. And the boys didn't even realize that somebody was in the cave, but on the picture appeared this Rav that was in the cave. He was on the picture, on the side of the picture. And when they printed the article in the newspaper, a picture of the Rav appeared. He was there in the... So they printed it. And after that, they received a letter from one of the first people that read the article and said, I know that man in the picture. Of course, that's my grandfather. Somebody in New York sends it to the editor, says, this is my grandfather. I can tell you his name. His name is Rav Yekusiel Weiss. And he lives in Sfas. And he used to be the shamish of the Skolin Rebbe in America. And, of course, many years ago. He's an older man now. And he said, that's him. And I said, we know him. He's a big tzaddik, and he gives brachas. He's big in hachnasas orachim, etc. He wrote a little bit about him, and said who this mysterious rabbi is. Anyway, interestingly enough, we also had some personal connection because he happens to be a relative of my wife. My wife's grandmother is a Weiss, and so this rabbi happens to be a relationship to us. So we were excited about the prospect of having such a relation. And we'd heard it from my brother-in-law, who saw the article as well, and the write-up, etc. And so we had this connection. So afterwards, the Fact Hamodia, they then received a number of different letters to the newspaper. Other people said that they knew this Rav, etc. And they thought it would be interesting to make like a follow-up article about to Rav Weiss to speak to him. And so sure enough, I'm not going to go through, of course, the whole article. It goes through his life story. And I'll just mention one other incident happened with him. There's a number of things in the article. There's one thing that stands out in my mind. Once when he was in America, he was out west in Los Angeles. Anyways, he had to catch a flight back to New York, where he lived, and he was on his way to the airport. And it happened to be during Hanukkah time. And he was on the way to the airport, and he saw it was time he wanted to daven mincha. So he pulled over at some town on the way, and he went at a shul, and he went into daven mincha. So as he was davening mincha, of course, during Hanukkah, we add the tefillah ala nisim. And for some strange reason, instead of saying ala nisim, he said, kasveinu l'chaim, melech hafetz b'chaim. This is, of course, what we say during Aser Simei Tshuva, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, that Hashem should inscribe us for life, kasveinu l'chaim. He said this instead of ala nisim. So of course, he caught himself and he went back and corrected. But after he finished davening, he said something. Why would he say "Kasveinu l'chaim"? Right, it's for life. So he said, "You know, this must be a sign that I shouldn't take this flight." And he called his wife and he said, "Listen, I'm not going on the flight. Something tells me I shouldn't go." And sure enough, that flight collided with another airplane, and everybody in both planes were killed, except for I think one little baby was saved. Besides that, everybody was killed. The flight that he missed because of his tefillah. So anyways, so they wrote this about Weiss's life, and it's interesting because he's known to be a very big anav. He's very humble. Right? He claims, no, I'm a pashut yid, etc. But in fact, when they asked him at the end of the article, they asked him about the maisa with the boys. You know, they confronted him. Okay, so what about the lemon juice and that? So he said, not a big deal. He said, you know, it just so happens the day before the boys came into the cave, I happened to be reading a book of skulas, and it said that if you have a problem with your liver, you should drink a glass of lemon juice. That's all. So I just told them what I saw. So they said, oh yeah. Well, how come when the boys were standing by the cave and you disappeared and you didn't come out and they were standing by the entrance and they didn't see you? Where did you go? How did that? He explained that. So he said, nah, you don't realize, but the cave looks like a simple cave, but there's actually all kinds of nooks and crannies and exits and stuff, and I just went out another exit. So I said, okay, fine. Anyways, that's her advice. And we were anxious, being relatives, to meet this man. So sure enough, we got the family together, and we hired a driver, and he took us all the way up north to Tzfas. And we met with Rav Weiss, and like we mentioned, a very, very humble. In fact, when I said with the Rav, like, he goes, no, I'm not a Rav, I'm not a Rav. I said, don't call me Rav, I'm not a rabbi, though. Right? And we said there's a number of stories of his brachas coming true and things he's done. And it was a beautiful meeting. We enjoyed it. We have pictures to share with others. And that's why Rav Weiss, you should live and be well. May have his dream. So that's the story. And I hope you enjoyed it. And let's summarize what we spoke about today again. The concept of tzaddikim and gedolim, gedolei Torah. The importance we saw to listen and heed to their words, follow their words exactly as it says, v'chuva esabada betabos, that the staves have to fit exactly in the rings, following, we have to follow directives of our gedolim to the nth degree. Yis Hashem, if we do so, we can be sure to receive all kinds of brachas. Hashem Baruch Hu should help us and bring us the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'mehera b'yameinu.
Amen.